You're on. Excellent. Morning, Ruth.
Morning.
Thank you for agreeing to chat to us. I know that you and Anne McDonald and Kathy Taylor had the vision for this idea that we call 4Fs probably a couple of years ago now. I wonder if you could just remind us of what it is and what was behind the original idea.
Behind the idea was the fact that we heard of lots of people in poverty, children, which obviously is very much alive in Eden. And so we started this group. It was only November 19
right.
when the idea came.
Yeah.
I'd heard of quite a lot of people at work that were in poverty. And then I went to a meeting for the food bank, which really brought it to mind. And I felt that God was really calling us to do something about it. So we started the group. That was the end of November, and by Christmas holidays, we were up and running twice a week. So we, through the schools, they were really good at sending out notices to the people that they thought really needed the 4Fs. And so it was went great. But of course...
Since then, of course, we've had coronavirus, so we've had 18 months. So how has the pandemic impacted on your ability to do what your original vision was?
Well, obviously, we did it at the Christmas, and then we did again in the February, and then of course we were closed down. So in the September summer holidays, we started with the bags.
Mm-hmm.
So we made up bags for fun, with games, crafts, treats, things that they could do in the school holidays. So we did that for the summer, half term, Christmas. And so we distributed them through the food bank and our car boots outside here.
Yeah.
So.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
But of course now we come to, what do they call it? Freedom Day or something tomorrow? So restrictions are being lifted. So what does that mean then for 4Fs? How are things, what are things looking like? What are the plans going forward?
Well, we're starting again on Friday.
This next Friday?
It's next Friday, the 23rd. And I've got a rotus here for anybody that's offered to help us.
Right.
And so we start in the morning with games, and then a nutritious meal, which is the main point of the issue. And then in the afternoon, we have a guest who comes to do different things.
Right. And this is just going to be a place where people can come and they can find a safe space to just be and to have fun and
it
to
is.
Be together and eat a good
and
meal.
And eat at the same.
Yeah.
You know, we wanted to provide a nutritious meal so that they've got a good balance, basically.
And how many times are we going to be doing it over the summer?
We're doing it every Friday over the summer holidays.
Every Friday? No,
we're doing five.
Five? So
yeah.
five times
five
during
the
summer
the six,
holidays.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And tell me, Ruth, what is it that motivates you? I mean, what's the... So we all might say, oh, that's fantastic, but I wonder what it is that actually drives you to do this in the first place. What is it that motivates you?
The motivation, basically, the love of children was the first thing.
Yeah.
And then... We just felt there is such a need. I mean, there's 20% of people within the UK that is in poverty.
Yeah.
And Eden is one of the, or almost one of those. So we just felt there was a real need to care.
Right.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And what can we do as a church, as people, to help if people haven't already responded? What can we do, Ruth?
Well, prayer is obviously a major part of it.
Yes.
That we're COVID-free.
Yes.
That the helpers get as much out of it and satisfaction that we do as leaders. And just, we want them to have fun, but to be safe.
Yeah. And do you need any more donations of anything at all?
No, financially.
We're all right.
We've been extremely, blessed. Everybody's been very, very generous.
Fabulous.
And so financially, we're extremely well off. And some of the butchers and things are very kind to us. At giving us things. And,
excellent.
You know, so, yes, we're okay.
Oh, fantastic. Well, let's pray for you now a minute so that
thank
we can
you.
Pray that God will be in this and bless it and use it. Father, I just thank you so much for... thank you so much for Ruth and for Anne and Kath and all of those who you've given a heart to serve you. Lord, we're thinking this morning about caring deeply, and this is one example, I believe, where we can really show how we care for the most vulnerable in our... blessing on the four Fs as they resume the activity physically from next Friday. On those 5 days, I pray that everybody may be safe and COVID-free, and that there will be a time where people can feel relaxed, where they feel that they can belong, where they have an identity with us, and where they feel loved and welcomed and known and held by you too. Help us to share your love and to have opportunities of sharing the good news of Jesus with these people too. So Lord, I pray a real blessing on it in the name of Jesus, for your praise and for your glory. Amen. Thank you, Ruth.
Thank you.
Yes, what do 4Fs stand for? Good question. Joyce, sorry. Somebody asked me that as we were coming in this morning, and I thought, oh, I must explain that. And of course, it went in here and out there, so forgive me, Joyce.
Food, friendship, family, and it's free.
Food, family, friendship,
and it's free.
There we are. Rolls off the tongue, Joyce. Thank you, Ruth. Jeanette is going to come and share some Bible readings with us. Sometimes I get accused of only having a couple of verses Bible reading, but I'm afraid we've got three passages this morning which Jeanette is going to share with us. Thank you, Jeanette.
Right, well, one from the Old Testament, two from the New Testament, and I'm so glad to take that off. The first reading is Isaiah chapter 58, verses 6 to 10, and it's on page 745 in the Church Bibles. Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of yoke? To set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry? And to provide the poor wanderer with shelter. When you see the naked, to clothe him, and not to turn him away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here am I." If you do go away with yoke of oppression, with pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday. Then the second one is from Luke, chapter 6, verses 20 to 31, and it can be found on page 1034. It's entitled Blessings and Woes. Looking at his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you and insult you, and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven, for that is how their fathers treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comforts. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for that is how their fathers treated the false prophets. But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies, Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who ill-treat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. And the third reading is from Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 to 46, and it's on page 995. The sheep and the goats. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people, one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will say, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go and visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did to one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison, and we did not help you?" He will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Amen.
Jeanette, thank you so much for that marathon. That was wonderful, but I hope that we'll all see the relevance and the way those words fit in with what we are going to share together this morning. Time for us to join together in a hymn now. So I'd invite you to turn, if you're looking from the book, to number 564, although the words will be on the screen here, as we join together with, "O Thou who camest from above, the pure celestial fire to impart." And you can all sing very quietly behind your face masks, and do stand if you'd like to as we sing. Thank you, Graham and Heather. Fabulous. I'm really looking forward to next week when we can sing some of these hymns and songs properly. This morning, then, we are looking at the second of the Cumbria God for All revision statements, which is care deeply. But what do we mean by care deeply? Well, all of those Bible texts that Jeanette read to us earlier on, of course, give us a clue, don't they? John Wesley spelled it out in quite clear terms when he said this: do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. That's what it means to care deeply. And there are two questions that I want us to explore together this morning. And the first is this: why should we spend our time caring deeply? Why is it that we who are followers of Jesus should care deeply? Why should we care more than anyone else in society who might feel that they have a duty of care to others? And then secondly, I'll briefly ask how. What does it look like for us to care deeply? So let's dive straight in, shall we? Why care deeply? And it's a fair enough question, isn't it? It's the question that children are always asking, isn't it? Why? If we're being asked to do something or behave in a certain way, especially when taking that action might cost us or inconvenience us, it's only right, isn't it, that we understand why? There has to be a reason. And there are at least, I believe, three reasons why, as Christians, we should care deeply. First of all, I would suggest that we care deeply because that's what living out the kingdom of God looks like. It's being kingdom people in real, tangible actions from lives that have been transformed by Christ. Jesus was always talking about the kingdom of God, wasn't he? We read earlier from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount where he talks about what that kingdom looks like. It would be, he said, good news for the poor, for the hungry, for those who mourn, for those who weep. Because in this kingdom, he said, they would be ministered to and fed and comforted. But while living out the kingdom of God was a central message of Jesus, sometimes it's faded as ours. We talk quite rightly about the gospel being about reconciliation with God and freedom from sin and forgiveness and putting our faith in all that Jesus accomplished for us on the cross. And quite right too. Our personal salvation through Christ lies at the center of all we believe. It's the prerequisite to anything else we then do as followers of Jesus. But that's just the start. This gospel, the kingdom of God, was never intended to end there. It's also about a new order breaking into history, changing everything in our world, including us, transforming our world. Faith and works was never supposed to be an either-or choice. It was always a both-and. James says this in James chapter 2. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, then what good is that? So also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Caring deeply is putting our faith into action. By caring, we share the compassion and the mercy and the justice of Christ for the whole world. Jesus' movement was based on proclaiming the good news. And without a doubt, that gospel was always supposed to be good news for the poor. Therefore, if our gospel is not good news for poor or vulnerable people, then it clearly falls short of all Jesus proclaimed in his opening statement about what his ministry was about. I have come, he said in Luke 4, to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. If the gospel that we proclaim fails to be good news to people in their immediate need right now, then it's not good news at all. And it's not the fullness of the kingdom that Jesus came to bring. Isn't that what that parable of the sheep and goats that Jeanette read to us from Matthew 25 is all about? Jesus was always ministering to people in their current circumstances, wasn't he? And bringing relief to their immediate need. In Matthew 10:8, Jesus sends his disciples out with this instruction: heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, so freely give. So caring deeply then is walking the talk. It's living kingdom lives that have been changed by Jesus. And then secondly, caring deeply, I believe, makes us more like Christ. A couple of weeks ago, we considered the question, didn't we? What would Jesus do? Imitating Christ is what it means, we said, to be followers of Jesus. We seek, as his followers, to join Jesus among the world's least, last, and lost. We become the hands and feet of Jesus by caring just like he did. In reconnecting to our most vulnerable neighbors, Christians become closer to Jesus. Against the religious elite of his day, and contrary to all the advice of his disciples, Jesus lifted up the bent over woman on the Sabbath. He touched the unclean with healing power, released the paralyzed from his bed, ate with tax collectors in their homes, and risked the violence of the mob to intervene for the woman caught in adultery. Day after day actions, Jesus showed that God's way includes costly demonstrations of unexpected love to the least likely. The stories that we have of the Good Samaritan, or the father welcoming back the prodigal son, the rich person neglecting Lazarus on his own doorstep, all consistently show who Jesus is. And through Jesus, we see what God intends for us too. Caring deeply makes us more like Jesus. And not only is caring deeply imitating Christ, it's also responding to what God asks of us. Having you the same mind as was in Christ Jesus, Paul tells us in Philippians. And the Bible is full of exhortations for God's people to care deeply. Here's just a couple of them. Galatians 6:9, let us not grow weary of doing good. Psalm 37:3, trust in the Lord and do good. Micah 6:8, what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. And Ephesians 2:10 says this: for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. Caring deeply is living out God's kingdom. It imitates the Christ that we follow. And then the final reason that we should care deeply is that this is one way that people will see God in us. They will experience God for themselves and they will become attracted to him. What we do, our actions in caring deeply for others, will become like this sweet perfume that draws others to want to know this God too. Caring deeply is evangelism in action. Somebody once said that Christianity will fail to convince anybody unless it actually changes the lives of those who profess to follow it. Isn't that what Jesus meant by saying that we were to be salt and light to the world around us? Jesus said in Matthew 5, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. When people see the kingdom of God being lived out by our love and our care for others, they will first be surprised by it and then attracted to it. It was St. Francis, wasn't it, who was reported to have said, preach the gospel at all times, use words if necessary. You see, I can say all I like about how great God is and what a difference God makes in my life, but unless I'm living out that kingdom in my own actions, it's all just words. The authenticity of my faith, the value that there is in it, surely is demonstrated in who I am and what I do. We have ACT as one of our four core values here at PMC. Caring deeply is one of the fundamental activities of church life. It's one way that we can begin to make disciples of Jesus. Caring deeply turns the church outward to the community it serves. The difference that we make in people's lives outside of the church is a way, one way of sharing that God that we love. But please don't think that by that I mean we only do it as a means to an end. We do not care deeply only if people become Christians and paid up members of the church here. Jesus cared deeply for people irregardless of how they would respond to him. Some became followers, but some did not. Do you remember the 10 lepers that he healed and how only one of them came back? We care, full stop. Be, by, and of itself, we care. We care because we are Christian, yes. We care because we have Christ's love in us, absolutely. And do we want our actions to attract people to discover more of God for themselves? Definitely. But the reason we care deeply is just to love like Christ loves and to care like Christ cares. Because loving like that and caring like that will make more difference to people's lives than 1,000 of my sermons ever will. So hopefully we can see then why caring deeply is central to us being followers of Jesus. It's living out the kingdom of God, it's becoming more like Jesus, and it's one way that people may see God in us. But how do we do it? What should caring deeply look like? Of course we should care for all. Everyone is our neighbour. We help all, we stand alongside all, and we love all. But I would suggest that caring deeply means caring in a particular kind of way. It means caring when it costs us. It's far more than caring for people just when it suits us or for caring for people that we like. Caring deeply is sacrificial care. It will mean putting ourselves out. That's why Jesus, in that passage that Jeanette read to us from Luke, talked about doing good to those who hate you and blessing those who curse you. And if somebody wants your coat, then give them your shirt too. He told us to go the extra mile. Caring deeply means going to people and doing things that we find difficult. But Jesus was always doing it, wasn't he? Touching lepers, going to the other side, seeking out those on the margins, the outcast, the foreigner. Caring deeply will mean us keep standing with someone in their grief when it becomes awkward and uncomfortable. It means us being extravagant and giving more than we can do so comfortably. It means not worrying about thanks or recognition. Caring deeply is our deliberate effort to improve the conditions of those who need it most. There's nothing that's more central to our identity as followers of Jesus than transforming the lives and conditions of those who are right at the bottom of human recognition and care. And caring deeply means to love deeply. 1 Corinthians 13 says this, "If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing." The cost of following Jesus then is to love those for whom it is not automatic or easy or common or accepted. It is to love those who do not think like us or live like us. And to express care and compassion and mercy to those who we do not know and who may never be able to repay us. This is the love that Christ pours out of us. This is to care deeply. And you know, caring deeply is as much about injustice as it is about compassion. It's acting on behalf of those with no voice and no means to get what's rightfully theirs. Finally, caring deeply cannot be done to a community by someone who thinks that they know what they need. It can only be done with a community, by somebody who shares their need. We need to be connected with and share in and walk with the people we seek to serve. So here's my question as I close. Maybe you agree with what I've said. Perhaps you can say amen to these thoughts. I really hope that you can. But will you join in, I wonder? Will you accept God's invitation, his command even, to care deeply? Will you go from this place today and make a difference to people's lives? Will you be willing to reach to the lowest and the neediest and the unloveliest with the love of Jesus and really care deeply? I pray that I may have the courage and determination to do so. And I hope that you will too. Amen. And so as we reflect on what God may have been saying to us this morning, we're going to listen and join in quietly with a song now. Lord, you have my heart, and I will seek for yours, I think. And I will search for yours. I suggest perhaps we remain seated as we listen and perhaps just join in quietly. Thank you, Graham. After we've had the song, I'll invite Chris to come and share some prayers with us. Thank you, Chris.
Shall we pray together? We're going to pray on the lines of the acronym, if that's the right word, P-R-A-Y. We used to pause, to rejoice, ask, and to yield. So just pause now in God's presence. Lord, thank you for showing me this week just how much it means to you for us to come into your presence. I'm going to pick up my son Matthew from Birmingham Airport this afternoon with our granddaughter. We've not seen them for a year, so just to have them not asking for things, but just to be there. You just want us to be there, Lord. Draw us closer, we pray. Lord, would you rejoice that this Christian life is good news? We've got good news for people. Lord, thank you that you died on a cross for us. for our forgiveness. Lord, we do ask your forgiveness. However much we try to care for people, Lord, we all fall short. We all need you. We need your forgiveness, Jesus. Forgive us for putting ourselves first. We can't even love each other here sometimes if we don't agree with each other, let alone those outside the church. Forgive us for that, Lord. Lord, in the words of a chorus, show me how to love like you have loved me. Break my heart for what breaks yours. Lord, we do pray for PMC and the other churches in our town. I do pray that we'd be able to care for people on the outside and to introduce them to Jesus, to you, Lord. And we pray for lives to be changed. And we pray for our ministers and leaders at church for wisdom. Pray, Lord, for the youth work, which has been difficult this last 18 months. And Lord, pray that you would provide us with an outreach worker. Pray, Lord, for the four Fs. Thank you for those involved with that, Lord, and for their passion for caring and looking after others. We pray, Lord, for those who are struggling at the moment with faith, struggling with church. Lord, for those who've drifted away, just think of people ourselves who we just long to be here this morning and are not here. And Jesus, we pray, moving forward for unity, despite our differences of opinions on certain issues. I just pray that we will be one, as you and the Father are one. Lord, we pray for families that we haven't seen each other. Lord, particularly, Lord, for those who've suffered bereavement. Lord, we think of Sarah and Alison, Lord, who lost their dad in the last week, Ernie. Pray for all their families, Jesus, and keep them close to you. And Lord, we pray for others who we know who've lost people. For Jim, for our nurse Katie's family. Lord, we pray for those we know who are poorly. Pray for Kath Humphreys, Alan Horton, struggling with cancer. And Lord, pray as we get more freedom, that for those who are scared stiff of taking masks off and mixing again. Pray for wisdom, Lord, for the government. Pray for our leaders in the government. And we pray further afield as well. We pray for these families and people affected by the floods in Germany and Belgium. Still people lost, Lord. Pray for Afghanistan, the resurgence of the Taliban. Pray for the Middle East, for peace there, Lord, that will solve so many problems. And finally, Lord, we yield. We yield to your will. Lord, help us to be obedient. And Lord, in the words of that chorus we sang, if more of you means less of me, then take everything. We offer ourselves afresh, Lord. Just use us, we pray, to build your kingdom here in this town. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Chris. Our final hymn, we've run out of time, so I think we'll just sing the first and the last verse of 663, if you're looking at it from the book, but the words will be on the screen, I hope. I, the Lord of sea and sky. The chorus says, here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart. So we'll sing just the first and the last verse, if that's okay. And please stand as you're able as we join together. Thank you, Heather.
The Lord of sea and sky.
So let's pray to end. Our loving God, we thank you for hearing the prayers that we've said. Thank you for feeding us with your word, encouraging us in being together. And I pray now that you would take us and use us to love and to serve you and all people universally, impartially, without prejudice and unconditionally. Help us to love you and all people with all our heart, our soul, our strength, and our mind. In the power of your Spirit, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And now may the love of the Lord Jesus draw you to himself. May the power of the Lord Jesus strengthen you in his service. May the joy of the Lord Jesus fill your hearts. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.